I am loaded for bear. And this is the news according to me. I don't know where to begin this morning. I'm just going to start with sipping some sweet tea. That's what I'm doing. I've been watching some YouTube this morning, and I'm just not going to be very, I'm not going to be in a very joking mood this morning, I'm afraid. I don't know. Every time I see a report about the Ashley Babbitt killing, I have a tendency to get pretty sober about that, because it ticks me off. I heard yesterday or the day before, I think it was yesterday, might have been the day before, that there weren't going to be any charges filed against the officer that shot her and killed her. And at the time I was, you know, it took me back, but I wasn't really that, it disturbed me. It has been laying there in my disturbed center of my heart for a long time. On the pile of things that disturb me. And I'm not sure why this particular incident disturbs me most. And I think after watching a video from Matt Walsh, it was on the Daily Wire, probably soon to be extinguished from YouTube because of the way they are censoring people without... with showing and showing no sign of diminishing that censorship. I mean, it is getting worse. It's absolutely getting worse. In fact, a lot of the videos, the NTD News, I watch that once in a while. Epic Times, NTD News, Newsmax, all those. Now they're starting to get warnings before their news broadcast that the content may be unsuitable for some watchers. Usually at least one or two warnings you have to click on before you can even watch the video. And it's just a news broadcast. Because they politically disagree. This is not censorship for the purpose of content that's immoral or content that is questionable in terms of, you know, violence, that kind of thing. It's content that they disagree with or that they think isn't true, that they've fact-checked. Folks, this is downright 1984 stuff. You can read information from the CDC website, and if it doesn't agree with the narrative that they want to push, they will censor you. They will say it's fact-checked wrong. Now, I'm not saying I agree with everything on the CDC, but the CDC puts it out. You should be able to read it as if this is what the CDC website says. And they will censor you for that. This stuff is happening. And it's out of control. If you're not a believer, you should be scared out of your wits right now. If you are a believer, you should be looking up. because redemption draws near. I really do believe we are seeing the birth pangs before the end times. And there's no question about that in my mind. The things that were forecast, that were prophesied about, foreseen, portrayed, foreshadowed in Scripture, without any way of knowing what kind of technology was required to fulfill them. They couldn't have even imagined the kind of technology that was required to fulfill the kind of things that were said in Scripture. That technology is here today. And the global connection that we all have is absolutely a part of that. And it's not just a world government that's officially a government, it is the governance of the world, whether that's controlled by politicians or some big businesses or other nefarious people behind the scenes. This is the gist of my book, The Conspiracy. That it's not necessarily a government that usurps its power. It's not necessarily the world, the UN. It's not necessarily the United States government or whatever. It's this coming together of government and the big tech powers, the corporatism, the money that flows into the hands of these politicians who then provide the means for these big companies to continue to usurp more power for the sake of marketing, for the bottom line of market control and greed. And I'm not saying capitalism. It is capitalism. They're riding that wave. But what do all these people want when they get up to the top of power? They don't want capitalism anymore. They use capitalism to get up there to get control and maintain this huge company that has control of so many people's lives, or seemingly does. And then they want Marxism. Then they want to stay at the top. They want to shut the door behind them and create a communist society where the oligarchs and the rulers at the top can now use you as chattel. That's what happens. It's happened on smaller scales up until now, and it's starting to close in globally now with us. And that's exactly what's happening. So good morning. It's Friday, 8:22 a.m. March, I believe it's 16th. I'm sorry, April 16th. I wish we could go back to March. I wish we could go back to... No, I don't. I don't mind time moving forward. It's not a problem. Matt Walsh did an excellent job of covering the Ashley Babbitt murder. Killing. I'll just say killing. And he does an excellent job of comparing it to some of the other police shootings that have happened around our country that people are up in arms about, that are rioting and looting, stealing from other businesses, destroying their neighborhoods because of someone who in the midst of committing a crime was killed. You could say the same exact things. Yes, was Ashley supposed to be there? No. And I even struggle with that. I really do. I really struggle with that. because when it comes to the intent, the intent of the people who were have been shot, say you know, like George Floyd. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. I know people. I know he's been elevated as a saint right now. He was not a saint. Okay, the guy had a rap sheet. You know, the guy was struggling with life, no question. You know, I think if he had the opportunity, he probably would have tried to get himself straightened out and cleaned up. But I don't know that there was anyone around him offering that kind of thing. I don't know. I don't know what his personal situation was. All I know is the reason the cops showed up is because he was committing a crime. That's why the cops were there. They didn't decide to, they didn't look in a phone book of the list of black people and then say, we're going to go after George Floyd today. Just randomly picked him to kill. That was not the case. Neither was it the case for whoever it was that killed. We don't know whoever it was that killed Ashley Babbitt. I don't know why we don't know. As Matt Walsh said in his report, he said, we know all about the officers who get involved in a shooting of an unarmed black man. Immediately. Names, family, addresses, everything about them. We know everything about them. All of a sudden, everything. And the media and the hordes of people that are drummed up by the media immediately decide that they're guilty. And the riots begin, and I'm sure there'd be lynchings if they allowed it to be. And this individual, Ashley, technically she was trespassing. She destroyed, or was participating with some people who destroyed some property. Because they did break the window. She was about to crawl through it. I'm going to try to talk about this a little bit without missing too much and without blurring the situation and helping you understand what's going on here. She's a very small person. I think she weighed about 110 pounds from what I understand. She's very small. She was a military service person. She was, I believe, in the Navy for a long time. This woman, here's the difference in what I see between her and most of the perpetrators that we have overturned our country for. She happened to care about the country. She was very much a zealot with regard to the destruction of our country, what we stand for. And you know, maybe history will look back and say, well, I just don't know. I don't know what to think about just January 6th. I really don't. In some ways, I wonder how history will look now if it's not rewritten and completely whitewashed. For those of us who are alive and remember this, we may look back on it and say, that was the last chance, the last effort that was made to save the Republic. Maybe that was our last opportunity. Because I just don't see a rising up of the people. Maybe this will happen. I don't know. It won't be pretty. A true insurrection, armed insurrection, and the situation where Nancy Pelosi stands up and says that the Capitol is the temple of democracy, and this they're attacking. If you attack the nation's capital, you're attacking democracy. That's not the case. You don't even know the meaning of the word democracy. You're just the representatives of the people. You're not the people. It's the people who came to make themselves heard that day. And I, you know, is she a criminal? Yes, in some ways, yes, very much so. She's a criminal, yes. She was committing a crime. But some would argue that the real criminals are the ones who were being protected that day. And I waver on whether or not that's the case. I mean, I'm kind of leaning towards that being a possibility. And here's the problem I have with it. We don't know who the guy was. The man who shot her, who was he? Was he a Capitol Police officer? I've heard rumors that he's not. I heard he was a security detail. Some said he was Secret Service. I don't think he was Secret Service. But he was supposedly some kind of security detail from one of the congressmen. He didn't step up to her and warn her. He didn't say, if you come in, I'm going to shoot. Stand back or we are prepared to shoot. You know, if you breach this wall, we're going to shoot you. No warning was given. I've watched the video. Matt Walsh played the video again. The one that was on the side of right behind where she was. Now, keep in mind, there are heavily clad armed officers on the same side of the door she's on. And you can tell by the look in their eyes that they're exhausted. However, they're not afraid. They're not afraid of these people. They're not fearing for their lives. Because that's not what this was about. These people had no intention of killing officers to get to the criminals on the inside. I think that's what the way they saw it. And I have to agree a little bit. And you know, I constantly see this vision of Judgment Day. Standing, all these people standing before God. And the ones who are mocking and complaining and yelling, didn't we do all this in your name? We did all these things. And he's just going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And you see, that's where government, they like to use the Bible and Jesus as a way to say, well, this is the Christian thing to do. We need to take care of the poor and the downtrodden. That's our job. The government's supposed to do that. No, actually, it's not. That's the church's job. And we have abdicated our responsibility to the government so that we can just, you know, collect our tithes and make bigger buildings, make mega churches. Nothing wrong with a mega church. But the money seems to be flowing into things that are not so much the storehouse for the community, but rather just an edifice of their own social club. But I digress. Any other officer shooting of an unarmed person would have been paraded around in the news for months. But this was not. In fact, quite the contrary. It was all covered up. And there were plenty of people in Congress, including AOC, who made it sound like we were under attack. This was an armed insurrection. We thought we were going to die. We came so close to dying that day. They were going to come in and kill us. They were white supremacists. They were going to hang all the black people. That's all we heard. That's all we heard. Yeah, it's absolute insanity. And it's absolute it's just theater. And it's out of control, and it's pathetic. It's pathetic. Phony individuals who are in charge of our country now and are supposedly our representatives, representing the people, are up there all concerned about themselves and their lives. Now, and here's the other side of this. Now, if somebody's breaking in my window at my house, and I'm not sure if they're armed, I'm not sure what their intent is. All I know is they're not coming through the front door. They weren't invited. They're just breaking in. State of Indiana, I have the right to blow them away. No questions asked, no warnings given. I can just do that. Would I do that? Probably not. I would probably tell them to get out, get back. I'm going to shoot. And within seconds after that, the lead's going to fly. I'm going to give them some kind of warning. This guy steps out from around the corner, fires a shot, and then walks away. There were other officers there. This is the only officer, as Matt Walsh would say. It's the only officer that for some reason seemed to think that his life was in danger, that what he was doing was necessary to repel this attack. And you're telling me there was nothing else they could do. There's these things called pinch points, or some people call them squeeze points, where when there's an attack like this, or when there's a perpetrator or a group of people trying to attack you, you get them into, or even in a military situation. There's a place, you know, you get to a place where it narrows down where they have to pass through. It's the only place passable. And it's like a place where only one person at a time can come through. That's where you make your stand. That's where you stop them. At that point, that's where you make your stand. There were multiple times when people were coming into the Capitol that day where they could have made that stand. Of course, this was that stand, I guess. But one person standing at that window could have kicked her back out of the window. One person. You're telling me that couldn't have happened. But no, she had to be shot. And again, this gets back to very poor police training. It's like we escalate to, you know, the taser, the pepper spray, all that stuff. And the next thing you know, lead's flying. And we have no sense of ability to restrain, constrain perpetrators anymore. I don't understand that. It doesn't take that much training to understand how to do that. And these people are professionals. This is what they do. This is their job. Because I think most of it a lot of times is the fact that they've become so overwhelmed with paperwork and all the other administrative duties they have to do. They don't have time to do the physical training that they need to do. But that's beside the point. Okay. On to the subject at hand, which is really what this particular show episode was supposed to be about, is the Jim Jordan episode. Now, there are I'm kind of loaded for bear. A couple things that have happened. One of the things, I'm going to play a couple of different audios for you. And I have to say, Jim Jordan is a pit bull. Now, Matt Gaetz also is, as well. However, they've succeeded in making Matt Gaetz out to be some kind of criminal as well. And they're going after him. And it's not, knowing how the media is and how they manipulate things and do things, they see him as a threat. Anybody who rises to the top and they see him as a threat, they're going to go after him. Now, they see AOC rise to the top. They promote her. They don't like her being out in front of the microphone too much because she says some pretty stupid things sometimes. But I'm not even sure they realize how stupid the things she says. I don't even know. All I know is she says some really stupid things. Doesn't even know what a garbage disposal is. How do you go through life and go through and how do you work as a bartender? How do you get anywhere in life? Become elected as an official and you've never heard of or seen a garbage disposal. And it scares you. You're scared to death of this thing. What? I better not go there. It just flabbergasts me that these people are in charge of things. That they think that they rule over us now. They're going to tell us. They're going to be our parents. They're going to tell us what to do. Because they seem to think they can run our lives better than we can run our own. Yeah. And you get Jim Jordan here. And of course, they go after him because he's calling them on the carpet and he's telling them the truth. And I think this is one of the best exchanges I've seen in the way he operates within this realm of chaos and stupidity and just blatant hypocrisy. This is Jim Jordan in a moment where he's talking to Jerry Nadler and Steve Cohen. And it's just a mess. And he finally gets a chance to speak and he's reading his statement and the guy who thought the island was going to tip over because there were too many military people on it. That guy comes in.
Oh, wait a minute. I can't see him anymore. I can't see him.
He can hear him, but he can't see him. So that becomes the issue. And he has to interrupt everybody because he can't see him. Well, he just popped back on. Now he's gone again. I don't think he understands how Zoom works. When you talk, your camera pops up. I can only see myself right now. Well, that's because you don't have the settings on right. It just blows my mind that these people are in charge of anything. That they don't have they don't have enough common sense and life skills. I'm surprised they make it to work in the morning. Well, maybe they don't. Maybe it's noon before they go. They must have somebody like dressing them and tying their shoes. Maybe they don't have shoes that tie. Maybe they've got this, you know, the Velcro things. And they just kind of get up and they go to the drive-thru. Their driver takes them through the drive-thru. They get their sandwich. Maybe somebody spoon feeds them every day. And then they put them back in bed at night. Read them a little story, go to bed. And then they wake up the next morning and they cry until somebody changes their diaper. I don't know. I don't know how these people make it through life. I have no idea. Because they're just blooming incompetence is incredible. So listen to this exchange. This is pretty interesting.
Can anybody hear me?
This is Stephen Cohen.
Good. Yeah. Well, I switched machines. I'm on a new machine.
It took him a half an hour to get this meeting started.
Back, and I think we're okay.
This guy's attitude just boils my potatoes.
I'd love to see a video. I love videos. Right. I don't know anything about any permission being asked or not asked or anything else.
Well, we're not able to show it, Mr. Chairman. I mean, we'd like to.
What is the video? Give me an idea.
It's a video of people objecting on January 6, 2017. To the counting of the electors when President Trump won on January 6, 2017.
Well, I have no idea. I don't know anything about that. But the fact is, that's not really particularly, and I don't mean to be argumentative or anything, Mr. Jordan, but that's not relevant. We're not going into anything that happened with any of that stuff.
Not relevant? The chairman of the House Administration Committee just released a 2,000-page report. Going
that's
after 140,
not part of this hearing.
You got to be kidding me. 140 some Republicans?
That's the House Administration Committee, not us.
Okay, what he's talking about there is the House Committee, this is about a month ago. Okay, this isn't current news. I just want to play this because it's just an example of what he does. And then we're going to get into the example of what he did to Mr. Fossey, because this is my Mr. Jordan here. This is the man. This is the guy who's got the matzah. He was going after him then, and he's going after Fossey in the next clip. But what he's talking about here is this 140. There was 140 congressmen and women who were brought up on investigation because the Democrats thought that some of them were part of the insurrection, that they were helping and assisting, aiding and abetting. This is how insane these people get. This is how beyond the pale and how rampant and blind their rage is for Donald Trump. It has absolutely driven them insane. So that's what they're talking about, this 140 people. This Jordan's mentioning that because this report had just come out. And he's trying to... Now, they're saying it doesn't belong to the subcommittee. That's the general committee, not the subcommittee. Well, this is the subcommittee steers. You have to understand how this is supposed to work. And they're trying to absolve themselves of any responsibility. And this is exactly the committee it should be brought up in. But they're trying to back out of that.
That's not part of this hearing, and I don't really know.
Well, she's a member of the Judiciary Committee.
She's not a member of this subcommittee, and
she's a member of the Judiciary Committee.
So what? That doesn't mean she's not a member of the subcommittee.
Well, Ranking Member Johnson just read a letter talking about this very issue. This is entirely relevant. That report comes out a few days ago, and you have this hearing this week. Just coincidence?
The report was. Let me suggest. If some technical difficulty is preventing that video, why don't you just describe the video so we understand it and let's proceed.
I'll read my statement. President Biden campaigned on a promise of unity, but Democrats in the House, like Chairman Lofgren, are putting together reports that attack Republicans, over 140 Republicans.
Mr. Jordan.
Let's be clear. Chairman Lofgren's report is a 2,000-page...
We can't see you now.
Who cares if you can't see him? You're supposed to be able to hear him.
I can see him fine. I can't.
It's just
see
a talking
him
head.
And I can't.
But he has
see
to interrupt the guy.
Than myself now.
He has to interrupt him.
I see Mr. Jordan has just popped back on.
This guy's. I kid you not. This guy's got to be smoking weed.
I mean, this has just been. It took us 30 minutes to get on to the. It was such a mess. I mean, this is a comedy of errors. This whole hearing. Democrats in the House, like Chairman Lofgren, are putting together reports that attack Republicans. Chairman Lofgren's report is a 2,000-page political opposition dossier put together at taxpayer expense. Think about that. Taxpayer dollars used to target fellow members of the United States Congress. Chairman Cohen went on television and accused without evidence Congressman Boebert of helping criminals storm the Capitol without a bit of evidence. Other Democrats have filed frivolous resolutions to censor or expel Republican members.
Mr. Jordan, would you yield for a minute?
So much for unity. Be happy to yield to the chairman.
Thank you. This has never been made clear. All I said on television is I saw Ms. Boebert going with a group of people in the tunnel. I then said I didn't see anybody involved in the insurrection. And I also said this very well may have just been the historical record of her getting sworn in for the first time and people wanted
Come
to go
on.
See it.
Come on. You
said go to CNN, Jim. Go to CNN, and you'll see that.
How about I read your
That's
how about
what I said.
How about I read your quote? She's
I'm
not
read
on
your
the
quote.
Home team. She was with the visitors. How about that quote?
That she's not on the home team.
She's not on the home team. She's with the visitors. I think I'm on board with that, because the home team is the establishment. The visitors are the people, the democracy. Let me just pause here for a moment, and democracy. Let's just go with that. The meaning of the word democracy. Let's see what Google says: a system of government by the whole population or all of the eligible members of state, typically through elected representatives. That is actually not what democracy is. I'm amazed that they have that in there. Capitalism and democracy are ascendant in the third world. That's a stupid statement right there. I don't know who said that even. It's some kind of a quote. A state governed by a democracy, plural noun democracies, part, control of an organization or group by the majority of its members. The intended extension of industrial democracy. Let's look at Merriam-Webster. This is probably going to be better. Maybe not. Okay, definition of democracy. Government by the people, period. That's fine. Especially rule of the majority. That is even more accurate. 51% of the people rule the other 49%. That's called mob rule. Because 90% of the people can decide that the other 10% should be killed. And guess what? That's the rule. Nobody has liberty. Nobody has Bill of Rights. And Bill of Rights has to deal with individuals. 99% of the people can vote that one person should be killed. But that one person has a right to life. And they cannot do that. They cannot take that away without due process. Now, if that one person decides that they're going to do something that, say they take someone else's life, now their right to life is in question. If they decide that they're going to take someone else's life without due process, then now they are accountable for that life. Because they took someone else's rights away. Now they have objectively they've taken their own life, their own right to life away. A political unit that has a democratic government, okay, capitalized, the principal policies in Democratic Party, the common people, especially when the common people, especially when constituting the source of political authority, the absence of hereditary or arbitrary class distinctions or privileges. This is probably one of the better ones. Of course, they go into democracy, the government, and all this stuff. It's all, you know. But the root word, which they don't have that here. I'm surprised they don't have the root word of the word democracy. It's the Latin something. I think it's democia or whatever it is. I don't know. Democratia. I don't know. Democratia. So it's something like that. And it's but basically it means the people. It's the democracy. Government by the people. Rule of the majority. Now, we don't have a pure democracy in this country. We have a representative, constitutional representative republic, which uses a democratic or a democracy process to elect officials to represent us and defend our rights, not give us more rights. Not give us free stuff, not have laws that give people special rights, not have, you know, rules and regulations that we have to follow to be able to pay more, to take other people's stuff away and give it to us, or for the ruling class. That's not what that's all about. But I digress again. So let's go back to the video. I'm playing a video. You can't see it, but it's the audio that you're hearing that apparently Mr. Island Tip Over Guy cannot understand, that he just has to listen and not see somebody to be able to hear him talk. So let's continue.
When you tweet 1776, you're not on the home team, but that doesn't have anything to do.
When you tweet 1776, you're not on the home team. Let's just keep that in mind. Apparently 1776 now is an insurrectionist tweet. Just the number, just that date, revolution, is apparently, that's when our nation was founded. The founding of our nation, the date is now not on the home team. What does that tell you about these people? This is the day we celebrate every 4th of July. So I guess anybody who celebrates the 4th of July now is not on the home team. What he's saying, I guess.
Leading the insurrectionists, I said she specifically could have just been going up there for a celebration.
You know what? You know what you did, Mr. Chairman. Other Democrats have filed frivolous resolutions to censor or expel Republican members.
Go on with your
much, so much.
I don't know if you can hear him because the other guy yelling. There were other congressmen who were filing formal papers to expel and censor other congressmen because they were accusing them of being a part of the insurrection. Now, let me ask you, is it an insurrection to try to restore a republic? And that was the intent of these people, okay? These people weren't out there to take over the government, to change our republic, to establish a different form of government. That's what we have now. We have people in charge now who want to change our government. And I think we're going to look back on this if people aren't brainwashed into changing what really happened here. I question how we're going to look back on this and realize this was the pivotal point. If we don't wake up and get this turned around soon, like administratively, ideologically, philosophically, educationally, then guess what? We are headed for chaos. And we can either roll over and let everything happen and just continue to roll into a completely, ruling class dominated society that is in bed with big tech and, all the things that come along with that. The money system and the food industry, and the education industry, all those things. The ability to, the free speech, all the stuff, your ability to do all those things is going to go away. They're already talking about closing down churches in some places permanently. And we'll get into that when we talk about Fauci here in just a little bit. But I don't want to stretch this out too long because this is just an example of Jim Jordan is all I'm trying to give you here. And it's pretty fascinating.
Unity. Was it my time or are you just going to run the whole thing? Is it my time?
It's your time to you continue with your calumny.
Calumny.
Excuse me. I didn't hear what you said. Continue with what?
Your calumny.
Oh, well, I'll continue with presenting the truth. These same Democrats spent 4 years accusing President Trump of colluding with Russia. Allegations we knew at the time were false, and now the whole country knows are completely false. 19 minutes, Mr. Chairman, 19 minutes into President Trump's term, the Washington Post read a headline, quote, "The campaign to impeach President Trump has begun." President Trump wasn't even done with his inaugural address, and you guys were working with the media to impeach him.
Yep.
And of course, the video I wanted to play talks about what happened on January 6th. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just read from it. I'll read from the Congressional Record. Congressional Record,
personally,
House of Representatives, Washington
Friday,
January 6th, 2017. Mr. McGovern, Mr. President, I object to the certificate from the state of Alabama. Mr. Raskin, state of Florida, he objected to. Ms. Jayapal, Mr. President, I object to the certificate from the state of Georgia. Miss Lee, Mr. President, I object to the state of Michigan. Mississippi, Miss Jackson Lee, Mr. President, I object.
So he goes through this whole list of all the people who over the years have objected to electors. Of course, the ones who were the loudest mouths in the process of condemning what happened on January 6th are the ones who were the loudest mouths, of course, on people like Maxine Waters and others were out of line and totally, blasted the decorum of any kind of decorum of the House. They were being, shouted down basically by the gavel. They were gaveled out because they were being so disruptive. And that was supposedly okay. That was okay. So the whole thing is just is overhyped. It's just ridiculous. Now let's get into what he did with Fauci here. This is a really interesting. Hopefully the audio is going to be okay on this, but it starts off kind of weak. This is from C-SPAN.
Chairman, Dr. Fauci, when is the time? When is the time?
He's talking to Fred.
Well, in your written statement, you say now is not the time to pull back on masking, physical distancing, and avoiding congregate settings. When is the time? When do Americans get their freedom?
He's talking, but he's not putting his he's not turning his microphone on because he's a blooming idiot. This guy's brilliant. He's a world-renowned doctor. He's incredibly sharp. These people are just brilliant. They're so much smarter than you are. They have, you know, your little farm boy common sense means nothing to them. That's just nothing. But they can't turn the microphone on because they're idiots.
Can you put your microphone on, please?
When we get the level of infection in this country low enough that it is not a really high threat.
What is low enough? Give me a number. What I mean, we had 15 days to slow the spread, turned into 1 year.
Well, it's just when liberty. You know, when Fauci's gut tells him it's okay.
What has to happen before Americans get their freedoms back?
My message, Congressman Jordan, is to get as many people vaccinated as quickly as we possibly can, to get the level of infection in this country low that it is no longer a threat. That is when. And I believe when that happens, you will see.
What determines when?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
What? What measure?
That's exactly the point, right? Right. This is the nail on the head right here. And you know, he pretty much stays on point with this. He does get him distracted a little bit. But when? Well, when the level is low enough. And what is that level? Well, when it's no longer a factor. And we're looking at science here, so we need numbers. This is data. What does your science tell you about this? When is the science kick in here? And you tell us at 16.57%, then we have a point where we can open up the country again, where you can have your liberty back. Well, it's not an issue of liberty. So. Yeah, and this is the thing he's nailing here.
Are we just going to continue this forever, or when do we get to the point? What measure, what standard, what objective outcome do we have to reach before Americans get their liberty and freedoms back?
You know, you're indicating liberty and freedom. I look at it as a public health measure to prevent people from dying and going to the hospital.
You don't think Americans' liberties have been threatened the last year, Dr. Fauci? They've been assaulted. Their liberties have.
And here's the point. He's worried about people dying from COVID. Plenty of people have died from other things, like suicides and everything else that's going on, because of the lockdowns. People's livelihoods, people's, you know, way of life and everything has been overturned and it's been disrupted. How much damage is that causing from the lockdowns? Look at some of the states that didn't lock down. Now, nationally, we were closed off and, you know, travel was stopped and all those kinds of things, I mean, to some extent. But some of the states that didn't close up, look at the numbers there, the per capita numbers. Incredible. Economies are thriving. Unemployment's down. Some of them are lowest as ever. Where would we be today if we hadn't done that?
Look at this as a liberty thing, Congressman Jordan.
It's not a liberty thing.
Well, that's obvious.
As a public health thing.
But
I disagree with you on that.
You think the Constitution is suspended during a virus, during a pandemic? It's certainly not.
This will end for sure when we get the level of infection.
And what is that level?
It is now at such a high level. There's a threat again of major...
Just an ambiguous high-level, low-level. And where is this high level? Because, again, he's saying it's such a high level. Not everywhere. Again, we have places that have high levels right now of infection. We have places that don't have high levels of infection. You can always point to somewhere to say that there's high levels of infection. And this is the matrix that they... The shell game that they like to play. And he keeps asking him, what's the level? What's the point? What's the numbers? At what point are we good?
Your right to go to church, your right to assemble, your right to petition your government, freedom of the press, freedom of speech have all been assaulted. I mean, for a year now, Americans haven't been able to go to church. Even today, when they go to church, they're limited in the size of worshipers who can meet. Your right to assemble? Oh, my goodness. We had a curfew last fall in Ohio. You had to be in your home at 10. In Pennsylvania, you had to be in your home. When you're in your home, you had to wear a mask. In Vermont, when you're in your home, you didn't have to wear a mask, Dr. Fauci, because you weren't allowed to have people over to your house.
Yeah, Congressman Jordan.
Your ability to petition your government for a year, American citizens haven't been able to come to their capital to petition their government to talk to their representatives and freedom of the press. These very pictures that Representative Scalise just showed you and talked about, guess what? The press isn't allowed in those facilities. The press is not, the Biden administration will not let the press in there. And certainly freedom of speech. I mean, freedom of, a governor of our third largest state meets with physicians, and that video is censored because they dare to disagree with Dr. Fauci. So I just want to know, when do Americans get their First Amendment liberties back?
You know, I don't think anything was censured because they felt they couldn't disagree with me. I think you're making this a personal thing, and it isn't.
It's not a personal thing.
No, you are. That is exactly what you're doing.
No.
It's not a personal thing, Mr. Fauci. This is he's trying to do an end run and throw this back in Jordan's lap and say, you have something personally against me. No, Jordan doesn't have anything personally against you. You're a man who's wielding power. Jim Jordan is representing the people, and you've done something personally, affected every life that he represents personally, which is why he wants some answers from you personally. He's not attacking the way you know, your $3 suit there that you're wearing or whatever. The way you comb your hair or the way you talk. He's not attacking you personally. He's attacking your policies that affect the entire nation. That's not a personal attack, Mr. Fauci. Maybe you don't understand that the meaning of the word personal, making it personal. Well, it is personal because my person is being absolved of my rights. The people he represents are having their rights taken away. So yeah, it's personal because it's their personal rights. So I think that's where Fauci kind of loses touch here a little bit and he's trying to redirect is what he's trying to do. And he thinks he's smart. He thinks he's really smart about it. Jim Jordan's a wrestler. He's very strategic. He's an athlete. He's a competitor. He's in this for the fight. He knows how to do this. And he understands. See, there's something about, there's a thing. I see this in martial arts and I see it in, I was in wrestling when I was in high school and I've seen it in martial arts as well. There's a point where everybody thinks you learn these moves and the moves are going to be what, you know, enable you to win the fight or win the match. Because you have the moves or you're quick enough. And I got news for you. That ain't enough. That is not enough. If any of you saw the movie, I think it was Rocky. Was it Rocky II? Where Mr. T, you know, they play the Eye of the Tiger while he's working out. There's something called a fighting spirit. And once you have developed that and once you have experienced and understand what that is within you, it never goes away. And they say that as you get older, it actually becomes more dangerous, much like dynamite. As dynamite ages, it gets more dangerous because it's more unstable, so I guess. So as we get older, we're more unstable and we're more dangerous. So now... I'm entertaining myself with my thoughts. The ability to fight. See, when you have an attacker coming at you, you have to have the resolve, the tenacity, and the focus, and the will to deliberately hone in on the mission at hand. And you have to become tenacious. I learned this in wrestling, first time I experienced it. I went through, as a freshman, I was on the varsity wrestling team because I was so light. I was small. I was 16 when I started my senior year in high school. Gives you an idea of how small I was. I was the runt in my class. I was 17 when I graduated high school. I started really late. Or they started me really early, I should say. I guess, yeah, they started me really early when I was like 4 in school. And not that it helped me at all, because I was the runt. I was always kind of behind everybody, which was fine. I got along. I got out of school sooner. I had a whole year. Most people were getting old already. I was still high school age. So, there were kids in my class that were 3 years older than me. This is amazing to me. Almost 3 years older, over 2 years older than me, which is a huge difference at that age, by the way. So, I was in wrestling, and of course, nobody else could be, 92 pounds. So I was like 92 pounds. I think I was in the 98 pound weight class or whatever it was. I was eating like a pig, and I couldn't get over 92 pounds. My sophomore year, it was a little different story. I was like 112 pounds, but I was, there's a 105 weight class, and the guy that was in the 112 weight class, I didn't want to have to compete with him to get in the 112. So I went down to 105, which I knew I could beat that guy. So I could still be on varsity team. Of course, now when I got out to compete, I was terrible. I was getting beat all the time. And I was a fish. They called it, they'd say you're a fish because you're just out there flopping around. Well, one day, my sophomore year, it was near the middle of the season, almost near the end of the season, actually. And we had this break. Some kind of a break. And during the break, we had like an open workout time at the gym at the school. And we'd have these workouts where you team up with 3 people and you go for like 2 minutes or whatever it was, or maybe it was 1 minute. I think it was, I don't know what it was. And you'd have these drills where you would rotate. So you'd have 2 guys in the ring, so to speak, on the mat. They'd be wrestling and one guy would take a break. And then you would, after that time was up, you would rotate so that the one guy would run out and then, the other guy would come in. And then the guy who'd been in for 2 rounds, he would come out. As you just keep rotating around like that, you did that for like 20 minutes or whatever it was. It was a ridiculous amount of time. It was killers. And, you typically wrestle with the same people all the time and you kind of know what they're doing. You kind of get used to what they're doing. And you're working on moves. And that's kind of what you're working on. It's exhausting and you're working hard, but it's not like you're, being aggressive with anybody. Well, this one kid came in during the break who wasn't on the wrestling team, but he wanted to come in during, I guess he had tried, he was going to be on the wrestling team and he ended up not being on the wrestling team. But he came in during this time because it was kind of open to anybody. So he comes in. I remember the guy's name. I know him by name. I wasn't a friend of his. he wasn't my enemy, but I didn't hang out with him. And all I remember is he got really rough. And it was painful. Like he would do stuff. It was borderline barroom brawl type thing. And he did it to me 2 times. He kind of got on me a couple times and I got mad. Now I'm not an anger type individual, but I got aggressive. And I'm like, buddy, there's no coach around right now. And I'm not going to let you do this to me again. And I got aggressive. And I started pounding him in the mat. Like I pounded him down to the mat and then I did it again. And the last time and I didn't know there was a coach standing there watching me. Now I wasn't hurting the guy any more than he had hurt me. I was being just as aggressive back at him as he, probably more aggressive, right? Maybe, I don't know, but just, I was, he had my dander, riled up, whatever that is. I don't even know what that is. The tiger came out. Let's just say that. And, coach walked, I didn't know it. I just pounded him to the ground 1 more time, basically pinned him to the ground. in a very rough manner. Coach was standing there next to me on the side of the mat going, that's the kind of aggression you need to win a match. I thought I was in trouble when he first started talking. By the end of the sentence, I realized he was approving of the way I was acting. In other words, he was saying, that's what it takes to win this. Well, that changed my whole perspective. I'm like, well, I know I've got that in me. I can do that. I can get mad about that. It's a controlled sense of, you know, animal aggression, whatever. My next match, I went out with that same attitude. I'm like, I'm going after this guy. There's no hope for him. He has no idea what he's walking into, basically. I am putting my everything into this, and there's no way I'm letting anybody take advantage of me out there on that mat. Boom. I beat the guy. Now, I did get called for unnecessary roughing at one point, which I had never been called for before. All I remember was getting done with the match, having my hand raised because I won, and everyone standing, the whole team standing on the edge of the mat, wondering what in the world and who they were watching and what happened to Kevin. Where has Kevin gone? Who is this person who's taken his place? Now, nobody had told me before the match. No one had said anything to me before the match. It wouldn't have mattered whether they had or not. I think they thought it probably would psych me out. It wouldn't have not have psyched. In fact, it probably would have psyched me up. I probably killed the guy. I didn't know it until, well, I wouldn't have killed him, but I would have been more aggressive. Nobody told me this. He was number one at state 2 years in a row. He was 2 years older than me. And I whooped him. And it surprised everybody on the team. I mean, I walked off. The coach was the first one right there. He grabbed me and he said, that guy's won state 2 years in a row. You just beat him. And then everybody on the side was like patting me on the back and shaking my hand and saying, that guy, I mean, they said some, that guy was a, they were saying some interesting things about who that guy was. They all knew who he was. Nobody was telling me. This guy had broken records and things. And here I was beating him. Somebody who was a fish the week before. Now, I took that with me when I went into martial arts a couple years later. And you start to develop, you can develop the moves, but if the moves are not a part of that fighting tiger spirit within, it doesn't really matter. There's a certain resolve, a certain dedication to the mission, to every step and deliberate move you make, and this tenacious spirit within to overcome and conquer. That has to be there. You're putting it all on the line every time, whenever you go. So it's when it's go time, it's go time. It's all in or nothing. Now, I'm a very patient guy. I'm not an out-of-control guy. I'm not a violent person. I hate violence. I don't like, there's all kinds of other ways to resolve things. And I don't promote violence in any form, any way, shape, or form. But when it comes to defense, there's a point where I will rise up, or something will rise up within me. Let's call it that. A sense of justice and a sense of reconciliation of the issue. Let's just put it that way. I'm not some tough guy. I'm not saying I can beat everybody. All I'm saying is it's going to hurt. I'm all in So you better be all in too. And the moves that you learn simply are, you know, that's just your reaction. Now that becomes your reaction, that becomes your tools. But the whole thing is the spirit that's swinging those tools. It's what's critical there. And I don't know why I went off on this discussion, but I say that because there's things in life that are the same way. There are things worth fighting for. There are things worth going after in an intellectual sense and also in a philosophical and ideological sense. And I think Trump in some ways represented those, that kind of mentality, that kind of fighting spirit. Now, he would walk up to a bunch of reporters and say, oh, here's the fake news. Here they are. Let's talk to the fake news. Just, you know, whatever he was thinking is what you got out of his mouth. And I think that was a little bit refreshing because he wasn't just trying to present some phony facade. He was just who he was. He would say it like it was. And of course the media just, they just played havoc with that. It drove him nuts. Because it wasn't presidential. His tweets are mean. Who cares if the economy's going good and the unemployment rate's low and we're becoming a world power again, we're becoming an influence in the world with regard to just trade and deficits and all the other things that are going on. I didn't care about that. So I say that to say this. Now, let's go on with this whole thing with Fossey because, frankly, it gets better.
Your recommendations carry a lot of weight, Dr. Fauci. We just had the chair of the Financial Services Committee said she loves you and you're the greatest thing in the world.
Will my recommendations are consistent.
Will the gentleman yield?
No, it's my
now, can I answer the question, please? My recommendations are not a personal recommendation. It's based on the CDC guidance, which is
question, what measures have to be attained before Americans get their First Amendment liberties back?
I just told you that.
You haven't given anything specific.
No, there was no specifics.
Tell me specifically.
Right now, we have about 60,000 infections a day, which is a very large risk for a surge.
Out of 350 million people, 60,000 a day.
About a pandemic
where are the location? Where are the geographic locations
Americans.
Of those?
That's what we're talking about. And I don't disagree with that. And I understand how serious that is. But I also stand it's pretty serious when businesses have been shut down. People can't go to church. People can't assemble in their own homes with their friends, with their families. People can't go to a loved one's funeral. People can't get to their government, petition their representative to redress their grievances. Right. I also understand the First Amendment's pretty darn important. And it's been a year. And I want to know when Americans will get those First Amendment liberties back.
Well, you just said people cannot assemble in their own.
Oh, now he's going to nitpick on something
that's
he said.
CDC recommendation for vaccination.
Not last fall they couldn't.
I didn't hear.
Not last fall they couldn't.
I didn't hear what he said.
The gentleman's time has expired.
Oh my gosh! I didn't hear what he said.
I'll give you one instance of when we can get our liberties back. It's when 90%. Of the members of the United States Congress getting vaccinated.
Well, I want to know if that's what Dr. Fauci
said. That's Mr. Claiborne now. He's got the answers. 90% of the Congress has been vaccinated.
That's what I'd like to know.
But they're still wearing masks.
Objective standards versus when certain things
they're still wearing masks. 90% of them have been vaccinated, which means that's the point when we can get back to normal, but we're still wearing masks now.
Right now, we're at an unacceptably high level. On a daily basis, it's unacceptably high.
What is the acceptable level then, Mr. Fossey?
What you're going to see as more and more people get vaccinated and we get over 3 million people a day, you're going to see the level of infection come down and down, and gradually there will be more.
Okay, let me just say this. We're vaccinating now at 2 million, over 2 million a day, and the level is not going down and down. We are vaccinating at unprecedented levels. And we are seeing unprecedented surges, according to him. Well, let's talk about that in terms with regard to science, cause and effect. Let's just look at the data, or as some of you would say, data. Because it's not showing that. So when all of a sudden we're like 2.5 million people a day right now, the levels are going up. But when we reach that 3 million a day, based on some kind of quasi-science that he has stuck in his head. I don't know where he's coming up with these numbers and how he has that, you know, what's that number based on? 3 million? Is that like 1% of the population? When we start doing 1% of the population per day, now all of a sudden the levels are going to go down because you've been talking to the virus and you know how it's spreading. You know where it's going to go next. That's the thing. Explain to me, Mr. Scientist, exactly how does this virus spread? Because that would seem to be the answer. And here's a better solution. This is the solution that I think instead of spending trillions of dollars on all this stuff, let alone the vaccine costs, folks, there's a lot of hidden costs behind this as well. These medical companies are making out like bandits on this stuff. They're probably selling, this vaccine is probably just city water with chlorine in it. And they're getting like $100 a dose or whatever they're getting, I don't know. Millions, billions, trillions of dollars going into the medical companies. And for some reason, we're supposed to believe that when we get everybody vaccinated, everybody should be vaccinated, even the kids. Stick the kids too, because now they're the variants. The variants are attacking the kids now. They're more deadly and they're attacking the kids. We would have been better off spending all that money on therapeutics, in my opinion, to fight the symptoms of the disease. Let the disease do what it's going to do. Let's keep it from killing people instead of trying to keep everybody from getting it. Because obviously we're not able to do that. Masking up, double masking, doing the social distancing, closing everything down, that is not working. It hasn't worked. When is somebody going to step up and say, therapeutics are our best way to get through this? Let's negate this thing and make it so impotent that it's no worse than the common cold. Because we can take this pill. If you get it, you take this pill, and it's gone. Basically, you have no symptoms. I can take an Alka-Seltzer Plus when I get a cold, when I get a head cold. I had a sinus infection a couple days ago. Took a couple Alka-Seltzer Pluses, got a lot of rest, drank a lot of water, took some vitamin C. Did a couple neti pots. I'm all over it. It's gone. You can't even tell the difference in my voice, can you? Because it's gone. It was 2 days ago. It came on me like bam, just all of a sudden my sinuses were infected. All the traveling I'm doing. It wasn't COVID. And it's over. Now, if we could get to that point with this COVID thing, because the vast majority of people, it doesn't kill. Look at the numbers of people who've had it and the number of people who've died from it, comparatively. The per capita numbers are very small. Not that any of them are insignificant, but it's still a very small number. Let's work on keeping people alive and spending our trillions of dollars on that instead of shutting everything down and making and ruining everything and then having to start to rebuild with this fear for the rest of our lives of COVID, because it's the bubonic plague now of our century. It's ridiculous. But I digress.
Ability for doing the things that you're talking
Where
about.
Where does it get to? When it comes down, what number do we get our liberties back? Tell me the number.
When 90% of the members of Congress get vaccinated.
But you're not a doctor, Mr. Clyburn. He is. What is the number?
Yeah.
I can't Thank give... you for recognizing me, Mr. Clyburn. Thank
the
you.
Chair now recognizes for 5 minutes.
I'd like my question answered.
Ms. Maloney.
Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time.
Regular order.
He wants his question answered. What is the matrix?
Mr. Chairman, I don't want you to answer my question. The American people want Dr. Fauci to answer the question. What does it have to be?
Expire, sir.
If you need to respect the chair and shut your mouth.
That was...
Don't worry about this. We're going to handle this. And I think Mr. Jordan knows me very well, and he knows full well that we're going to handle this. Your time has expired, and the chair...
That was Maxine Waters that told Jim Jordan to shut his mouth. If Jim Jordan would tell Maxine Waters to shut her mouth, what do you think would happen? What do you think would happen with that? Because she's a black woman. What do you think she would do? He would be a racist, and he would be run out of town and hung and censored and everything else. But it's okay because she has no institutional power. She can't be racist because she has no institutional power. She's a freaking congresswoman. What? What more of an institutional power do you want? If she were the president, could she be racist because she has no institutional power? Being the president of the executive branch of government? This is the kind of ridiculousness that we put up with in this country, and it's just, nobody calls him on it, of course. Mr. Claiborne was respectful, and I think he was trying to help out the situation. However, Dr. Fauci did not give him an answer. He did not give him an answer. And that's what he was demanding. So I digress. Again. Once again, I digress. Because that's what I do best. I'm pretty good at that. I'm pretty good at digressing, actually. Because...
Well, yeah, that's how it always starts. But then later there's running and screaming.
Yeah. That's how it always starts. Ooh and ah. That's the running and the screaming. I think we're heading for the running and the screaming. I think that's where our nation's running. To running and screaming here any minute now. Because that's where we're headed. So, on this Friday, the 16th, I believe it is. This is the Passover season, Pesach. And so I bid you, if you're not going to listen to this afternoon, if I have a show this afternoon, which I probably will, it'll be probably early afternoon, probably. Be able to get a show in. And if I don't hear from you then, I'll just bid you a Shabbat Shalom now. This evening will be our small group. We're doing a Seder meal. It's always very enlightening and enriching and wonderful. So, bless you all. Thank you for listening, and thank you for subscribing and sharing and talking about this and listening to me talk all this time. So, I bid you adieu. And I don't even know what adieu is.